How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
Mama's in Control, episode 40.
Welcome to Mama's in Control, where it's all about helping women redefine the beautiful mess called life and parenting and take back control of what they truly desire. And now, here is your host, Heather Chauvin.
We made it, guys. It is Boxing Day here, the day after Christmas, and I just wanted to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and all that fun jazz. And speaking about Christmas, I wanted to share with you a very special episode that I did with the co-authors of Conversations with God for Parents. This is a book. If you don't know who Neil Donald Walsh is, he is the author of the trilogy Conversations with God. And this is a very unique opportunity to listen how we can share and evolve and start this conversation about spirituality with our children. So spirituality is the core of what I teach, right? It's all about connection to something bigger than ourselves. And we all come into this world, parenting, life with intentions, with beliefs, with stories, with whatever. So whether you're very religious and you, constantly go to church and you follow a certain type of religion, that is perfectly fine and dandy. But some of us are searching for more, right? Just starting to think about how we were raised and how we can evolve and grow and how we can kind of create our own spiritual path and pick and choose what we desire from maybe a religion or maybe a spiritual path. So know that this interview is solely based on story, perception. There's no right or wrong here. It's just giving you the opportunity to think outside the box when it comes to teaching spirituality to our children and most importantly, ourselves. Diving into that deeper connection with ourselves of what does that look like? I talk a lot about mindfulness and meditation. That is, goes back through religion, but it's just spirituality, guys. If we just strip away all of the belief systems and the stories and ask yourself, how do I want to feel? How do I want to feel in connection with my children? How do I want to feel in connection with my work? How do I want to feel in connection with my spouse, my partner, myself, my life? We choose the stories. We choose the beliefs. But sometimes when we're so stuck in old patterns that are no longer serving us, we are terrified to move on. So today is a refreshing approach on conversations with God and teaching our children the spiritual principles. I also talk openly about my relationship with the word God, growing up Roman Catholic, how that did not serve me, and I needed to find a new relationship with the word God and how that that stung for a little while. Whether you call it universe, divine, source, whatever your thing is, there's something bigger than us that is supporting us and helping us cultivate this life. That when we die, something leaves our body, and our body is just left, the shell. So what is that life source that is within us? So this is going to be a very open and positive and casual conversation about spirituality and how we can begin to teach these principles to our children. So this book, Conversations with God for Parents, is kind of a book that is about how do we begin to teach these lessons to our children. And going through the book, I've learned a lot about the simplicity of, you know, the practices and the principles that I've learned from other teachings, and just taking it right from this book and using it to parent and teach my children. But at the core of it all, when I ask my children, what do you believe? What do you think? And I allow them to use their own mind, their own genius, their own creativity. That is where magic happens. So understand that we are guides. We are spiritual teachers. We don't have to know all the answers. We can co-create this life with our children. So that said, I'm going to dive in to this amazing conversation with Emily and Lori, the co-founders of Conversations with God with Neil Donald Walsh. But on that note, I want to continue this conversation. So in the show notes, you will see a link to the private Facebook group. I'm going to be in the new year really putting more emphasis on continuing these conversations. So head on over there, click on the Facebook group, join us, and let's continue to have this conversation. I would love to hear your perspective on this particular show and for years to come of what else you would like to hear on the podcast. So again, that link is in the show notes, and let's dive in.
It's 7 a.m. for you, Lori?
Yeah, it's 7 a.m. here in Portland, Oregon, so it's early, but I'm up early, so it's good.
That's awesome. What about you, Emily?
It's 9 here in St. Louis, so okay. It's early for me, but it's not really early here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having this conversation, because I think it's really, really important. I know, I met you ladies at the Evolve conference with Dr. Shefali. My headphones are driving me nuts. And going into this, we're here having conversations with God, right? Conversations with God for Parents. You guys are the co-authors with Neil Donald Walsh. And I approached you and I said, I had a very unique story about how I came into understanding the conversations with God. And this will pertain to parents in a second, but when I got on to Conversations with God, it was actually through a therapist that told me, Heather, are you spiritual? And I said, no, I grew up religious and I'm not into that. I don't understand it. So I guess I'm not. And it would open this whole new world for me of like understanding who you are as a person beyond religion. And that was just mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to you ladies because when I seen that you wrote this book on conversations with God for parents, and I said, what is this book about? And you said, well, how we can teach our children about the same principles. And I thought that was brilliant because I've opened this book and I'm like, holy shit, I have so much to learn. I have so much to learn and learn about myself, but also learn about my children. So I would love to hear your take on your experience working with Neil Donald Walsh, but also writing this book and being parents yourself, what this really means and kind of, let's just open the conversation. So who wants to start?
Beautiful. Yeah, Lori, do you want to start?
It doesn't matter, but I just... Thank you for that, you know, for the words, for hearing those words, you know, coming from you, because I think that's probably, you're not alone in that, you know, what you said about all of that. It's very, I hear that a lot. I'm sure Emily does too. And I think for me, that is the reason I love the title and was so ecstatic and excited to be able to write the book. For example, my son, since we're just being, you know, so open and everything. My son, who's 18, he's never liked the word God ever, since I can remember. And I I said on the stage, I think something similar like, you know, and I wrote a book called Conversations with God for parents. And he's always had, you know, called himself an atheist and I don't know other
names. And your parents did that way from the time he was born, right?
yeah, totally, you know, non-religious because, you know, I've always known, I was not raised religious and taught them that they are born spiritual, connected it to everything that is, and, you know, and religion is a choice. It's something you choose, which is fine if you do. It's just not how you're born. You're born into it, but that's not who you are spiritually. So anyway, he's always known that, but he just will not use the word God, and he just, and, you know, to have a deep conversation through the years, in teen years about it, it's gotten heated at times, you know, because he's just like, why do you have to say it, Mom? Why can't you just call something else? Why, you know, why do we even have to have this conversation, conversations with God? And we've had our conversations, and he's getting to an understanding, a place of understanding now, finally, at 18, of what exactly is going on, why I call it God. And the thing is that I was going somewhere with this, and I always do this.
Me too. I'm not alone.
Oh, gosh. I do this all the time. He is, you know, when we finally got to the root of it, just for parents listening or whatever, he was very much about God, people kill in the name of their God, people backstab other people, lie, cheat, all these things, you know, they don't do what they say. They're to him, they're just, they're not the truth to him. And so that was a hard thing for him to really come out and say eventually. Like, he felt like he was judging. And I said, that's not judging, honey. That's just your feelings. And it's true. A lot of it is true. People do fight and there is war in the name of God and all of that. But there's also war. I told him that, you know, for oil, and there's also war for money, and there's also, I mean, you know, you could call it land. You know, we fought for land. I mean, you can go on and on about war and how war started, and not just religion, but for him, I think, especially for these younger, you know, generational kids, ISIS and, you know, is the religion is the big one, and so that's been a problem. And so I hear what you're saying, and for parents, it's an interesting topic, how you start to bring God into a child's life, and no matter what you call it. And Neil's books, you know, were such a huge impact in lives all over, in millions of lives. And so it is an honor to have this book out. And it does, in my opinion, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, it does cover a lot, and it does hit a lot of bases, and it does explain a lot. And I think it's something that, you know, I'm hoping parents will talk about for a very long time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have it open, and even just the way it's laid out about lessons, and reading the headers, like the headlines of, and we'll get more into that, but yeah, I want to hear your perspective, Emily.
Well, first of all, I am, can I say it, a recovering Catholic as well.
Awesome.
I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church as well, and I always questioned the priests and was always looked at like I was a heretic. And when I was 24 and going through a divorce, I had a friend, we were sitting at a bar, no less, and she said, well, you know, and I was saying, why me? I was always the good girl. I was a virgin when I met my husband. I did everything right. I did everything I was supposed to do. I wasn't necessarily a virgin when I got married, but I was. I did everything that was prescribed for me, and I did everything the way they told me. I went to church every single Sunday. You know, through college, maybe I didn't quite make it every Sunday, but I did everything I was told, and we still did not stay married. And 5 months into our marriage, after being together for 4.5 years, we were no longer married. And how did that happen? Why didn't I get the reward for doing everything that I was supposed to do? And my friend looked at me and she said, you do realize that it's all bull, right? And I was like, no, you can't tell me that. That's going to destroy everything that I've ever known. Although at the same time, my whole entire life I had questioned everything, but I had to buy into it because, you know, I was afraid of hell. And so she said, why are you still Catholic? None of it worked for you. Why are you still Catholic? I said, because it's what I've grown up with. You know, if I have to be a religion, it's going to be the one I know. And she said, honey, you do know that you don't have to be a religion. Well, I live in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm not sure if you know much about St. Louis, but it's very conservative. It's very, there's a Catholic church on every corner, and they're not all functioning anymore because it's moving away from being so religious. But anyway, so the next day she handed me Conversations with God, and she said, you need to read this. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, just read it. Read it with an open mind and get back to me. And I read it, and I cried through the whole book. And I felt like somebody finally, oh my God, I'm tearing up. After, this is 15 years ago, I'm tearing up again. But somebody finally has said all the things I've always thought, but I've always been afraid to say out loud. Although as a kid, I wasn't afraid to say them out loud, you know, because I would always get looked at by the priest like I was crazy. But everything I'd always felt inside when I'd be going to confession or when I'd be going to communion, those were all very important things for me because I thought, well, this is going to get me closer to God. But when I read the book, I thought, finally, someone has said what I always thought, and I'm not crazy, and I don't have to be afraid anymore, and all of that stuff. So you fast forward until I had my daughter, Sage, who is 9 3/4, she informed me a couple days ago.
Yeah, you can't get the years off, or it's like...
It's 3/4. And she was 4 years old, and one of our family members very lovingly gave her a children's Bible. And I had always been teaching her about God is love and you are God. And, you know, there's nothing you can ever do that God wouldn't love you anymore. And a family member gave her a children's Bible, and my husband and his big warm heart decided to read it to her because it was a gift. And I said, if you read it to her, you're going to handle the consequence because, you know, she's not going to, it's not going to comport with what she knows. And he said, oh, well, she'll just take it as a storybook. Well, he starts reading it to her. And by the end of, you know, the first 2 pages and God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, she comes screaming into me in the other room. You lied to me. God is not all loving. He pushed them out of the garden. She was 4 years old.
Wow.
And I freaked out. And I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to undo this damage? So I downloaded the first lesson that was in the School of the New Spirituality. And it was about you are love, God is love. And then after that, I emailed Lori and I said, I want to get involved because I want to help, because I don't want other children to have the same experience. And that's how I got hooked up with working with them. And so then it kind of just went from there. You know, I was going to volunteer for a little while and everything. And I think the biggest moment, you know, of all of the moments of working with Lori and Neil through all of this is the moment that I realized that, you know, we may affect 10 people, we may affect 10,000 people, we may even affect 10 million people, but it's that moment where a parent can look us, Lori and me and Neil, collectively in the eyes and say, you helped me raise a child who didn't have to live in fear. And that's what makes all of this okay. And, you know, knowing that through my writing of the book, because I didn't have all of the parenting stuff figured out, otherwise I wouldn't have had to write to Lori in the first place. But knowing that I have worked that out through writing for the School of the New Spirituality and then writing the book, worked that out to where I can help my daughter not have fear is a big deal too. So I have some of those same issues with the word God. So it's funny that I have helped write a book called Conversations with God. But last night, my daughter and I were talking about the word God. And because, you know, with Christmas, we're going to be around people who are very religious. And so I finally asked her the question that I have actually not ever asked her. I said, what do you actually think about the word God? And she said, I really wish we could just replace it with the word we.
Wow.
I said, well, that's nice, honey, but other people may not know. And she goes, I don't care if other people know. I'm just going to start using the word we. And then she went into this long, detailed, you know, fantasy land description of what heaven is, you know, to her, of where the collective is and all the aliens and all the other people, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was really beautiful, but it boiled down to I wish we could all just use the word we, because there isn't anything else besides we. And I'm not 100% sure if I have ever given her that much of a description, because, you know, we always just talk about, well, God is the spark in you and the spark in me. And so I thought that was really neat. So that was a really long explanation. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening and like, I'm like, whoa, that's I'm on the other side. And I'm looking at the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, we could be here all day. I'm like, where are we going to go with this conversation with God? No, I'm just kidding.
Now you know why when Laurie and I have work conversations, we're on the phone for 3 hours.
Oh gosh, totally. But okay, so there's this, I wouldn't even say it's like, well, an awakening, call it whatever you want, right? I attract and work with a lot of parents that are like, Heather, I purchased every single, and we've, you know, Dr. Shefali talked about this a lot, right? I've purchased every single discipline book, you know, punishment, yada, yada, yada. I need the strategy. I need to know this. I need to know that. And it's like, throw that all away, because at the core of it, it's like, what do you believe and what do you want to believe, right? If you're belief system is no longer working for you and you're like, I wasn't feeling great in my childhood because of the way I grew up, or I either had too much put on me or not enough and I don't understand and I'm seeking and I'm finding. So there's this parallel of us as parents trying to figure it out, right? Because parenting in general is a build plane as you fly it type thing,
right.
Like you're learning day by day, and you can get advice and guidance from other people or books or mentors, but ultimately it's you at your core. You are that person, and you need to be able to stand in your leadership and say, I either know what I'm talking about or I don't. Most likely I may pretend I know what I'm talking about, but ultimately this is a co-creation that we're doing together. It's you and I, it's not me versus you. And that in itself is a huge paradigm shift for people. So when it comes to teaching our children about, you know, regardless if you're religious or not, the core of spirituality, and I love what you ladies are saying about your children, because your children are literally showing you like, hey, mom, that's your belief system. Like, I'm going to go to the other side of the spectrum just to prove you're wrong, or just to crack you open to possibility. And I think that's really important to honor your children's curiosity and what they believe in or what they want to believe in, or just the journey of what they're, you know, what they're on. So I know this conversation can go many different ways, but there was one thing I opened the book up and I was reading it, and it was a lesson. I'm going to see if you guys can memorize it. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. It says, understanding who you are and why we were here. And I hear that from so many parents of going, I want to know my purpose. I want to know my purpose. And I see that as being, you know, great, you're stepping into this curiosity and evolving as a spiritual being. But how can we start cultivating that in our children at a young age so that they're going through their midlife crisis saying, you know, who the fuck am I and why am I here?
For sure.
I would like your take on that, on purpose and coming from a spiritual perspective.
Well, I can take a stab at that first, Laurie, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think that, you know, the way that I do that with Sage, because every day she wants to be something different, you know, and I think that setting them up with an understanding at the very beginning that there is no limit to what they can be, who they are, never telling them you're not enough. Is the first thing to allowing them to fulfill their purpose and giving them all of the tools. And I understand that everybody has a different level of means, you know, financially, of what they can, you know, everybody can't go out and buy an easel or glass blowing kit, whatever, you know, I mean, every child, if some child says, oh, I want to build a car, you know, I don't know what most ridiculous thing would be, but you know, if a child says, I want to build a car, make sure that child has as many science oriented experiences as possible. So putting them in touch with the genre that they're interested in. And then when they say, I don't like that anymore, don't say, but you said, say, mm-hmm. okay, now what are you interested in? And never locking them in your head to what it is that you think they should be doing. Because I can tell you that I am 39 years old and I still am not done figuring out who I am. So why should my 9-year-old be finished figuring out who she is? And I think one of the greatest disservices that we do as a society is expect our 18-year-olds to declare a major
yeah.
when they mm-hmm. enter college.
That was the most stressful thing ever. I was like, do I mm-hmm. go in healthcare or science? Healthcare right. or science? And it was so pressure. And right. I'm like, guys, mm-hmm. and now I'm not even in either. So it doesn't really make a difference.
Exactly. And it can be that way with everything emotionally as well, you know, because sometimes your purpose, you know, it'd be really wonderful if everybody's purpose lined up with their career, but it doesn't have to be. Your purpose could be to be the most joyful person on the street. So just telling, you know, just helping your children find that inner voice and always, I'm probably talking too long again. That's my thing.
That's but your inner voice talking that's my, right now.
But yeah, you know, when your child says, I'm finished eating, and you say, you have to finish the food on your plate, you're negating their inner voice. Mm-hmm. So being aware that you don't override their inner voice is very important for them finding their inner purpose in everything. No, Mom, I don't feel like doing that right now. That's their inner voice. And if you say, but I want you to do that, then you're negating it. And I think that being aware of that is really great.
So
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to piggyback off that for a second because I know that, okay, so when I became a parent, I have 3 boys. My oldest is 10 and they drop down from there. So when, it's like just all down. 10, 6, and 3. So when I became a parent 10 years ago, it was like, I can mold this child into anything that I want. I'm going to put him in this. I'm going to put him in that. I'm going to put him in this. Oh, you like this, you like this. Okay, now we need to do all that. And then you have an activity every day and then you're all stressed out and you're complaining because the child isn't good enough and that you have no money because you're spending ridiculous amounts. You have no time to be home, right? So this is the reality for a lot of people. This is no longer my reality. But when I stepped back and I was like, oh, you don't like XYZ or that actually doesn't light you up. And the reason why there's so much resistance is because I'm pushing you to do it. So how do we as parents lay off and go, what do you want to do? What do you feel called to do? What do you feel pulled or attracted to learn more about and sit back and say, I'm good enough by just chilling over here and not push that my child needs to be the next, you know, hockey star and pianist and whatever else out there.
You ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just ask. But like for my experience is this, like my son's 18, he graduated from high school. My youngest failed a couple of grades. You know, I could have freaked out, like, what are you doing? And I did ask him, I'm like, so you failed English. Okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you? And why? Or how come? And, you know, his excuses at the time or his thoughts at the time or his reasoning behind it, and this is real life, you know, was I don't like this teacher. Mm-hmm. And you have to know my son, he's very defiant, and he's defiant in a good way. And I'm like, you know, I'm standing there like, you don't like the teacher. Okay, let me get a handle on this for a second. You know, he's not a young child. You know, so long story short, he didn't like the teacher. So he did not want to do what this teacher told him to do in this particular way. He had a different way or whatever it was. And so I said, well, what, okay, so do you want to graduate from high school? Well, yeah, of course. I said, well, so what is your solution? What's the solution for this, you know? And internally, just so everybody knows, I wasn't just laid back, you know, like, woohoo, all righty, he's got it covered. I mean, I was a parent, you know, I was like, this could be major, you know, he could not graduate and he could, you know, what does that mean? And I could go on with all these what ifs, but, you know, he just came out and told me, I'll make it up, Mom. I'll make it up. Not a problem. And he did. And he made it up and he graduated and he didn't graduate with high honors. He didn't graduate with anything great. But what he did graduate with was is what you talked about. Not, he's beginning, and at 18, knowing who he is, he still has his whole life to live that and to ask those questions. And I don't think we ever truly, not most people, get to that place of, I know exactly who I am and exactly what my purpose is. But I'm proud of the fact that he, you know, he didn't want to do it in the way this teacher was showing him how. He had a conversation with her. He had a conversation with me. I had a conversation with the teacher. And we allowed him to do what he needed to do. She had to fail him. And then he could take up, you know, they make room for classes, to make up the classes. So my point being, he went about it in his own way, even though internally inside I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. You know, a little bit of fear turns into panic, you know. So you just, you know, you have to allow them those chances sometimes, those what don't seem like opportunities, like failing a class, which is for some people absolutely not an option. You have to stand back and say, why? If this child knows what the outcome is and he has a goal set, and you're a partner, Ellen knows I talk a lot about, you know, partnerships at a certain point in your child's life. As a young child, they just want to be little and play, and they want to be heard, and they want to, you know, do their normal stuff that little kids do. But at a certain age, they need to start understanding it's a partnership, and a parent has to understand that, you know, we work together, and I'm not out drinking and driving drunk and leaving you standing in the school playground in the rain. And so why would you do that to me? Why would you not come home at night? Why would you not let me know where you're at? And so what I'm trying to get at here is, when you sort of work at that together, there's no child on this planet who wants to disappoint their parent. They're not going to go out of their way or hurt you, or, you know, or anyone on the planet for that matter. They want to be a good citizen. They want to be a good person, and they want to learn and take all the steps that, you know, through life to be who they are and what they want to be and all of those things, because they want to do it for themselves, not for us or anybody else. So that's how, to me, that's how I've always lived it. I, you know, my children have not been, it's not been the perfect ride, even though we've never done any kind of religion, always been extremely spiritual and connected. There's still been our stuff, you know, we've still had our stuff. So it's just, that's life, you know, that's how it works. So allowing your children to really make even some of those really scary choices is important. And here's the other thing I want to say quickly. He also went through a shooting in Oregon. It was one of the shootings. He was a junior in high school, the end of his junior year. And he knew the boy that was shot and killed. And he actually mentored that boy. He was a freshman. Wow. And he mentored him when he came into the school. And as a community, he led a community. I don't know what it was. I wish I knew the name. That's, you know, I don't know
the
it.
Vigil? You're talking about the vigil?
Kind of like a vigil, but a little different. And got to meet the mayor. He shook his hand, thanked him for putting it on. I mean, these are the things that, as a parent, I look at him and say, you should be so proud of yourself. You know, you should be proud. I'm not proud because I didn't do it. Mm. He lived through that. He strived to make it a better place. You know, those are the things I think we wish for our children, because that is how they learn who they are and they learn why they're here. At that moment in time, he knew exactly why he was there, exactly why it happened, and what his role was. And so, see what I'm saying? You got to give and take to the, I failed the class. I honored this child in front of the whole school and brought in the mayor. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a lot better than an A to me.
Yes, exactly. That's same with me. So much better than an A.
So what you're saying is, this parenting journey, it's there's no right or wrong, and it's messy.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's messy. So even if you write the book on conversations with God, it's still messy, and we still have to take day by day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, but the thing at the end of the day, it's the things that, like Emily and I just mentioned, it's like, let's just call God we, and I failed, but I failed the class, but I redid the class and I succeeded, I don't like those two words, but because there is no such thing. But at the end of the day, what we're working as in this book, what we're working towards as parents, is for those things to happen in that way, even though it can be really messy. It's
it solves itself, you know, life unfolds in life like a blooming flower that dies in the fall. And I know that sounds really woo-woo-woo, that's true. And then it's rebirthed again in the spring. It's like, it just keeps going. And that is how we stuff our children. In my opinion, I mean, in our opinion, writing this book and stuff, for us, our children not to turn 40 and go, what the heck or what the hell am I doing here? Mm-hmm. They should have a very, I just have to say personally, I've never asked that question to myself. I've never said, what am I doing here? Who am I? Why am I here? I've always known my purpose here. I've always strived. And I knew having children changed things. But one thing I knew, I'm 51 years old. I'm a grandma. I have a almost 3-year-old granddaughter. And what I've learned through these years is that I'm still living my dream. I'm still living my purpose. I'm still living my passion. I'm still doing what I love. Even though my children are starting to go out into the world and do their own thing, I can't forget who I am. See, So that's what we want our children to do, is to go out into life and do that and live their life. And always, even through having children and a messy times, they still strive for the things that they love, are driven to, believe in, and have a purpose. So
that brings me to the closing conversation, because there's something on a deep level about spirituality and figuring out who you are, because it was, you know, we know that our children come in and just change our world, even if we think we are so prepared, right? Because we are in, I know we could probably all laugh and talk about this forever, but we think we're prepared, right? We got it. We know what we're doing. We're reading these books and yada, yada, but it's relationship with another human being. And there's such a sacred connection there that you can't even put words to. So they come into our world, and what you were saying about, and I'd like your opinion on this, the spiritual practice, living through a spiritual lens, right? This is a daily practice. This is something that, I mean, we will be talking about the book after when you, to let everyone know where you can get it, but there's like lesson after lesson after lesson in here. And it's amazing, and everyone needs to read it. So, I want to talk about, okay, there's always a few things that come up, right? So we want to be able to guide our children. And we talked a little bit about this. And then there's this aspect of like, who am I? Losing ourselves when we are parenting our children. And how to have that. Like, why is that so important to have a sense of your own purpose and who you are beyond parenting your children, beyond this connection? It's like we get addicted to it. We just get lost in parenting and the identity of our child. If they fail, I fail. If they succeed, I succeed. It's quite narcissistic and ridiculous. And I don't know why that seems like a cultural norm. But can you guys talk a little bit about that, and then we'll wrap it up.
Hey, Emily, if you want to go ahead, because I just got done yakking my lips.
Well, this is one of Lori's favorite topics, but I can start it, and then she's really eloquent on it. But I can speak to the not losing yourself in the child first, because I'm the one with the small child still, and so I'm still, you know, in the throes of that. You know, I think that we can't give to another unless we're full ourselves.
Okay, you need to repeat that over and over and over again so people can hear it.
We cannot give to another unless we're full ourselves. Amen. And that's really hard to remember. So I have to remind myself that all the time. And I have, you know, my husband and my 22, almost 23-year-old nephew lives with us. And he's really good at reminding me that I can't give to Sage unless I am full myself. Did I say it enough times now?
Yes, thank you.
And so it's really important, you know, and it's hard because I homeschool Sage, so I actually never have any moments other than when I sleep. And up until recently, she wasn't consistently sleeping in her own bed so that I even had sleep alone. So, and she's 9, but we found that she really needed the touch during sleep too. So it was really hard for me to find time to get my own time, you know, and my husband works. My husband works a lot of hours, and so it was really hard to find time for me to get out, get away. And that's why the Evolve weekend was really great for me, because it was like I immersed myself in new friendships and listening and all that. And it was about parenting, so that was really funny because it wasn't even really getting away. but anyway.
But really, it had nothing to do with parenting.
No, that's true.
I did a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Conscious parenting. It does, but it doesn't, right?
Right.
Conscious parenting is all about parenting yourself and really, again, going back to the principles of what you guys are teaching. But what I hear you saying, Emily, is that when we're in it, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we need to fill our cup too. It's not the easiest task to remember.
It's not. And the point that we heard at the conference of not feeling guilty about that is really important. And Lori and I talk about that actually in, which I know we're going to talk about at the end, but in some more writing that we have coming up, we talk about not feeling guilty about taking time for yourself, you know, quite a bit. It's really important to fill your own cup up, whether that's in your friendships, in meditation, in going to get a massage, going to get a pedicure, doing art on your own, whatever it is, it's really important to fill your own cup.
And I'm sorry, Emily.
Go ahead.
You're excited.
No, I know. Sorry.
No, this is how we work.
It is. Sorry, Emily. Well, you finish your thought.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
And I want to say even larger scale, like I just want to give a really quick example. This could be helpful to some and maybe not, because it's not for everyone. But I always had a dream, always to work in the film industry, not in front of the camera, but behind the scenes. And I stuck to that. I went to beauty school specifically to do hair and makeup in film. I did reach that point, but not until I was 38 years old, 37 years old. My youngest, who's 18 that I'm talking about, was 5 years old. And I was able to go work on a film, a spiritual cinema film, where I actually worked with Neil Donald Walsh. And it was about children, actually. And I was determined, and I went to this film for 30 days. I worked down in Southern Oregon, a good 4.5 hours from my home, while my son was 5 years old. Now, there was that sense of guilt for a little minute, but I had great support, and I knew that this was what I was meant to do. This was something I wanted to do for the greater of all, the children, the movie, the whole thing, something I was very passionate about, very much had a goal and a dream. Went to this, worked on it for 30 days, missed my son's 5th birthday. My sister and my, you know, his dad, they all worked together to create a birthday for him without me there, and I completed a task. I completed this amazing film, ran the credits, the whole shebang. So my point I'm making here, I hope I'm making the point, is that even if it's like Emily said, massage, meditation, art, anything simpler, which is great, loving, there's people out there so creative. I'm not that kind of creative. I'm the creative like this, you know, writing a book and those kinds of things, like, you know, working on films and really following things I love. And so my point is when parents can feel, and they have the support, hopefully, to go as far as missing, not even being home for 30 days with a 5-year-old, missing their birthday and everything to complete something that you have a goal for, to me, that is another way of filling yourself up. That's important because you could have a gift or a goal or a talent that takes you farther than you think you can go with a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, because of, and then those reasons why. And if there's no reason to hold you back and your son or your daughter's not suffering in any way, just because you're doing something you've always dreamt of, they see that. He even came to the set for a weekend with his dad and his brother. They saw that and, you know, it was magical. So my point is that you can go from any level to fill yourself up. And so I wanted to just express that to the parents who are like, but I gave up a dream. You know, don't give up your dreams. Don't give up your goals because you're a parent. Don't do that.
No. I want to piggyback off that. I think it's beautiful what you just said because actually, oh my gosh, ladies, 2 years ago today, I was diagnosed with cancer. I didn't realize it was today until I was like, oh yeah, it's coming up. It was today. That's how much I pay attention. And
because of that, I was spending 2 or 3 weeks in the hospital without my children, and they could barely come and see me because I was so sick and so vulnerable. And after that experience, I thought, if I can spend 3 weeks away from my family and they can survive without me, and I needed to almost die to realize this, I can leave for a week to go, on a retreat or meditate silently for 10 days or just go do what I want. Not all Whatever. The time, but like live my life. Mm-hmm. This is showing my children, hello, like let's thrive. Let's grow. Right. I know so many women that, oh, dad travels all the time. And they're just like, I got to stay with him. But the thing is, when I'm gone, that's when they can like create that connection with dad even more. Cause great. Mom's not around. Right. We can do it on our own terms now. And I think it's so, so important that for whatever reason, it's in our DNA as women that like, we're just hanging on for dear life. Like this is my sole purpose. And if I let go, when we let go, we can create that connection with our children on such a deeper level and with ourselves. And that's where we find the joy and the ease and the peace and all of this, the contentment. And it's scary because that vulnerability of like, this isn't a struggle. Am I doing something bad, or I'm just enough for showing up today and for being myself? Which is so beautiful. So thank you for saying that, because I think a lot of people just need permission
to what they want to
do.
And I don't want to miss permission. Oh, go on. Finish that.
No, that's all. You don't need permission. It's a partnership. You want your children to experience those things as well as they get older. So, you know, you just make those things happen. That's all.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I don't want to miss your other part of your question, which was their failures are our failures and their, successes are ours.
No,
they're
yeah,
not. You just have to let go of that, because first of all, as Lori very eloquently explained at the conference, success and failure are illusions. They don't exist. And Lori, maybe you can explain that better again. But
no, I just want to say
they are their own people. Huh?
I mean, that is it blocked out a little bit, so it's hard to hear. So I apologize, like cutting you off.
Well, go on and talk about that, and then I'll do the other part.
Well, I just want to, very simple and short. What I said, and you probably remember Heather at the conference, I just said the words success and failure will always be in our life, and we're going to hear it, and that's fine. But if parents could try to not include it into their normal conversations with their children ever, then that's not ever brought up, and so they don't know, oh, I'm succeeding or I'm failing, like the class, you know, because it wasn't a failure. Okay. It was the way he approached it. It was the way he did it. So anyway, I just always try to tell parents to try to avoid not using the word success and failure, or using it as little as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's a really important thing, I think, because a lot of us subscribe to that belief, just because we picked it up along the way, and yeah, letting that go is a sense of freedom.
Right.
Yep.
And then also remembering, though, even if you stop using the words, but you still have the internal dialogue for your own self that, oh, my child, you know, Lori could very well have looked at the situation with her son and said, he's failing that class. Oh, what did I do wrong? How did he, you know, da 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 da. Remembering that they're here on their own journey. They are their own independent soul. They made choices before they came to this planet. They chose you. You have a contract with them, a soul contract. And when they came to this planet, they had their own agenda. Their agenda is not your agenda. You have nothing to do with their agenda. You are just their guardian when they're young, when they're in their young body. But their soul, they may have even been your parent in a different dimension, in a different life. And so you have no ownership of them. You have no obligation to them other than the contract that you made that you'll help them usher through childhood. And so you also have no ownership of their successes, so really no pride in their successes. And you have no ownership and no responsibility for their failures either. And so stepping back and letting them be their own person and knowing that everything that they do, of course we're going to feel pride at the things that they do, but we have to then take our ego out of it and say, I'm proud of you because you're my child and I love you. But you know what? That's your path. and I give it back to you. And I hope that you enjoy what you're doing, and I hope that you learn from the things that you did that didn't work out so well. And I'm giving your life back to you because it's their life to live. It's not our life to live. And once they grow up and they're out of the house, we're not going to have any control over it anyway. So why should we try to control everything that they do when they're with us?
And when we do control, I mean, in my experiences, I found the very strong controlling, you know, parents that have that ego involved, their children go as far away to college. They go as far away as they can. You know, we come back on the holidays. Like, they're just not as connected. My kids want to be over all the time. I had my older son here with his daughter and then his best friend from high school and his girlfriend, and we all had dinner together. And, you know, so those are the connections that I think every parent would like to have happen naturally and obviously not forced. So, and then I don't know, we're probably close to the end, but I just want to ask parents this. I think sometimes we just need to ask the question, why did I have children? Or I like to ask parents, why did you truly have children? I think that's a huge question to ask yourself, or why are you going to have children? Because the answers to those questions to me are just vital to the outcome of everyone's well-being in this conversation we're having.
That's beautiful. And I think it's really, really important, as you said, right? It's not about the whole concept. Is, I always say this to people, like, oh, mom is in control. Ha, 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 funny. And I'm like, but it's you have this internal sense of being, like, feeling in control of your own life. It has nothing to do with, you know, it's controlling the internal, the choices you make, you know, the thoughts you think, yada, yada, how you treat others, how you treat yourself. That gives you the internal sense of being in control. Like, oh my gosh, I'm not losing it, right? But when we're reaching outside and trying to control everyone else, it's nature, it's science. They're going to push back. So creating that connection, as you were saying, Lori, is the complete opposite of, like, you're not starving for the connection. It's a natural creation just by who you are becoming.
Yeah.
And who you are in that relationship.
Yeah, and you want your children to see that you're spiritual, that you're not flawless, or you're flawless, but you're not flawless, meaning you've made mistakes, you've lived your life, you've done things, that you're not perfect. So many parents want to hold this high standard, and then their children are, like, almost afraid to, like, be anything other than, because, you know. So it's important that your children truly know who you are. That's why you need to know who you are, so that they can become who they are through you and the experience. So it's a deep subject, but it's really quite simple as things line up, and, you know, and it's understood. It's really simple, actually. I'm not saying the messiness isn't there, the arguments aren't there, excuse me, the natural fears aren't there, all those things, because that's just life. But I agree. I just think that those questions, what you said was true, and what we have to do is, excuse me, ask ourselves, why do we have our children? And, what's the purpose of that? Because if you don't know the purpose of having children, you don't know the purpose of your children, then you don't know that purpose.
And one of the most ineffective answers to why to have children is to have someone love me, because giving them a job before they even get here. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking of as we were kind of traversing through this last conversation is, controlling your children not only pushes them away from you, but it doesn't teach them how to be adults and be free thinkers and teach them to be problem solvers. When you have children and you guide them and you help them think for themselves and you help them ask questions, you know, back to asking questions constantly and teaching them to ask questions, you actually teach them how to make decisions on their own rather than supplying them the answers all the time. And you know, nobody's here to supply my husband and me with our answers to the big questions of, oh my gosh, how are we going to handle this big dilemma that we have right now? We have to know how to reason through the questions. And so our big goal with Sage and with Ricky, our older, our nephew that lives with us, is that we're equipping them with the ability to reason through and ask questions that are going to guide them to the most efficient answers for themselves. And so in my observation, parents who control and always supply the answers by saying, this is what you have to do in this situation, they have children who then as adults go out and don't know how to handle themselves. And so if we guide our children to know how to ask questions and even question us and say, I don't like the way you do that, that's fine. Because then they're going to be more able to handle themselves in the world than if we just told them what to do all the time.
Yeah, to be free thinkers, right? And to really understand, right. going back to how we started the conversation of talking about purpose and what's my purpose and who am I. All right, so my dog is getting antsy and my mom came back with the kids, so it's going to be here about 60 seconds. So ladies, talk a little bit about the book, where people can find it, and then what you individually have coming up and where people can find you. And I will link everything up in the show notes. In the podcast, so everyone can find those links.
Okay, so Conversations with God for Parents is currently available on Amazon.com, but I am getting ready to update CWG4FORParents.com, where you'll be able to purchase the book through there, as well as we're getting ready to launch some homeschooling kits pretty soon, so you can check out the website there. That'll give some more activities and stuff to do around Conversations with God, to teach it to the children. And then personally, this is Emily. I have two children's books. It's A Beautiful Day for a Walk and It's a Beautiful Day for Yoga. And they're based on how my husband and I have always used attachment parenting, conscious parenting, conversations with God to parent with our daughter from a real presence and everyday activities, kind of to try to just bond and be, you know, really present with her. And then finally, I also have a book called The Marvelous Transformation, Living Well with Autoimmune Disease. And if you go to emilyfillmore.com, and I'll send you the link, Heather, you can find out about all of my books.
Awesome. I actually have your book. It's A Beautiful Day for a Walk. I got it at the conference. I'm looking right at it. I haven't read it yet, but now I'm going to be like, oh, I didn't realize that was your book.
Oh,
that's awesome. And Lori, what about you? Go ahead.
This is Lori, and I have written a children's book as well, Positive Little Soul for the Children of Humanity. I wrote it like in 2006, and it was my first attempt, and I love the book. It's easy read, and it's beautiful illustrations. It's endorsed by Doreen Virtue and James Twyman and a few other people. You can find it on my website. I'm also an intuitive. I talk to people who've crossed over, and I help you connect with your infants, and I do a lot of different things. But the website is www.thepureintuitive.com, and I'll send you that link, because there you can find the book, The Conversations with God, and the Amazon link, of course, which takes you to the other books that I've written. So, yes, that's me.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, like I said, I'll put all of those links up in the show notes, and I truly appreciate you ladies sharing your time and wisdom, because this is a conversation that parents need to continuously have with their children and themselves, because this is the part that you won't learn in a, what do they call those, birthing class, or or in the, definitely not when, what is it? You go to church and you do the baptismal thing of, why do you want to get your child baptized? These conversations, as we, you know, how we raise conscious, spiritual, individual children with a deep sense of purpose, most importantly ourselves, all starts with us and how we take ownership of starting these conversations with our children. So thank you again, ladies, for being here. And I truly appreciate you both.
Thank you for listening to Mama's in Control. If you like this episode, please leave us a kind review on iTunes. For the full show notes from today's episode, hop on over to mamasincontrol.com.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community, My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store. So you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, C-H-A-U-V-I-N. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, C-H-A-U-V-I-N. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude. Gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.